welcome to the debate. Usually when we think about getting a medical diagnosis, there is a certain, you know, expectation of mechanical precision.
Right. You expect a very clear answer.
Exactly. You fall, you break your arm, the x-ray shows a jagged white line in the radius bone, and the doctor just points to the screen and says, there it is. That's the problem.
And that is incredibly comforting, right? For both the patient and the clinician. It's binary, broken or not broken. We really like our pathology to be visible and easily categorized.
We do. But step into the world of clinical immunology, and suddenly that x-ray machine feels completely useless because the diagnostic landscape we're looking at is just murky.
Oh, totally.
We are dealing with these ghost-like systemic issues, you know? Cascading inflammation, invisible thresholds. So today we are unpacking a sweeping 2026 white paper by Dr. Bichara Sali. It's titled The Social Ecology of Immune Disease. And this document is proposing a massive paradigm shift in how we understand human health.
A huge shift, yeah.
It argues that we need to move away from viewing immune pathology simply as a system doing, you know, too much or too little, and instead frame it as a breakdown in immune coherence. And crucially, Sali argues this coherence is driven by nested ecologies, cellular, social, and even planetary ecologies.
Which brings us to the central disagreement we are exploring today, and it is a profound one. Should we fundamentally redefine immune disease as a failure of this immune coherence, requiring us to focus on upstream socio-ecological condition restoration, or, and this is the crux of it, does expanding the immune paradigm to include social and planetary scales completely dilute the targeted molecular precision that remains the absolute bedrock of effective clinical immunology, things like clonal selection and antigen specificity?
Right. And I will be advocating for embracing that immune coherence and Wu-Wei prevention framework laid out in the text. I genuinely see this as an urgent, necessary evolution of medicine if we want to actually reverse the rising tide of chronic disease.
And I will be dissenting. I am defending the primacy of the traditional targeted defense model. Not because social ecology isn't interesting, it is, but because pinpointing molecular pathways is just the most actionable, precise paradigm we have for actually treating immune disease in a clinical setting.
Okay, so to lay out my position, we really have to look at why the traditional too much or too little defense model is scientifically incomplete.
Sure.
I mean, the classic textbook view is simple, right? If you have an immunodeficiency, your immune system is doing too little. If you have an autoimmune disease or severe allergies, it's doing too much.
That's the standard model, yeah.
But that binary misses the deeper operational reality of the human body. Dr. Sali's framework introduces five interlocking operations of immune coherence. A healthy immune system must sense danger without hallucinating it, respond without destroying the tissue it protects, tolerate life-compatible exposures, remember usefully, and ultimately resolve and repair without scarring the tissue.
Which, I mean, is a beautiful holistic way to describe what we already know the immune system does.
But the framework goes a step further by identifying the root of the dysfunction. Our immune cells, right down to the stem cells in our bone marrow, are historically imprinted by chronic social and environmental stressors.
Right, the ecology aspect.
Exactly. We are talking about particulate air pollution, poor diet, psychosocial stress. Because the immune system is shaped by these ecologies, we cannot effectively treat immune diseases by just showing up at the end of the line and suppressing a chemical pathway. We have to adopt a framework of condition restoration. To heal the host, we have to treat the ecology.
But blurring the lines like that, you know, fundamentally breaks our ability to treat the disease. We have to explicitly affirm the monumental achievements of mainstream immunology here.
Oh, I'm not denying those achievements.
But the entire foundation of modern medicine, and frankly, a huge portion of our extended life expectancy today, relies on antigen specificity, clonal selection, and adaptive immune memory.
I completely agree those are major achievements.
Right. They are the only reasons life-saving vaccines work. A single T cell finds its one in a million antigen match, clones itself into a precise army, and clears the virus. That is molecular precision.
Yes, it is.
So while the concept of immune coherence is philosophically very appealing, framing immune health broadly as an achievement of social ecology risks severely diluting our clinical focus. Targeted pathway suppression, what the white paper somewhat dismissively categorizes as rescue medicine, must remain our master paradigm.
But calling it a master paradigm ignores its limits.
Let me just finish the thought. Pinpointing autoreactive lymphocytes, isolating specific autoantibodies, and deploying precise molecular blockades is what reliably halts severe disease when physiological thresholds are crossed. You cannot treat a patient in an acute cytokine storm with environmental policy. You treat them with a targeted biologic.
Okay, let's look closely at how we define that molecular precision, though. You brought up antigen specificity and the classical model. This idea that the immune system simply recognizes what is foreign and attacks it. But antigenicity alone is completely insufficient to explain immune disease. It's missing half the equation.
I don't see how. I mean, the ability of a T cell or a B cell receptor to recognize an antigen is the absolute core of etiology.
Is it, though?
Yes. Take type 1 diabetes or systemic lupus erythematosus. These diseases are fundamentally driven by antigen-specific tolerance failure. You have autoreactive lymphocytes and specific autoantibodies attacking beta cells in the pancreas, or nuclear antigens in lupus. If we lose focus on the specific antigen and the specific receptor, we lose the ability to develop targeted therapies.
Okay, antigenicity is necessary, yes, I'll grant you that. But it is not sufficient without adjuvanticity.
Adjuvanticity.
Right. Think of it this way. An antigen is just a spark, but the tissue context dictates whether that spark lands on wet grass or dry kindling. This is where danger theory completely reshapes our understanding, as Sahali highlights. The immune system does not just blindly read a molecular signature and attack. It reads tissue stress. It reads damps, damage-associated molecular patterns, and MAMPs, microorganism-associated molecular patterns.
DAMPs and MAMPs are just additional molecular pathways that trigger an inflammatory cascade. They don't negate the primacy of the antigen.
They don't negate it, but they dictate its meaning. Let's break down what a DAMP actually is for the listener. Think of DAMPs as molecular debris.
Okay.
When a cell is under severe stress or dies violently, it bursts. And it spills its internal contents, things like ATP or nuclear proteins, out into the extracellular space where they absolutely don't belong. It's the biological equivalent of a busted window and a blaring alarm.
Right. It recognizes tissue damage.
Exactly. The immune system sees that debris and knows there's a break-in. Now, consider a food antigen in the gut. Let's say a milk protein. In the healthy, coherent gut ecology, that exact antigen is tolerated. The immune system recognizes it, but because there is no tissue damage, no DAMPs, it accommodates the protein.
Sure.
But introduce that exact same milk protein into a dysbiotic, damaged gut. A gut lining degraded by poor diet, antibiotic overuse, or environmental toxins. Now the immune system sees the milk protein and the blaring alarms of the DAMPs. Suddenly, that harmless antigen becomes pathological.
Because the context is inflammatory.
Yes, it triggers a massive inflammatory cascade. The antigen didn't change at all. The tissue's interpretation of the context changed. Therefore, context interpretation is the true driver of disease, not the mere presence of the antigen.
That is a brilliant description of the pathophysiology. But look at what happens the moment that cascade begins. When we transition from how the immune system interprets acute danger to how it manages chronic runaway inflammation, we rely entirely on targeted pharmacological therapies.
Because we've let it get to that point.
Biologics, immunosuppressants, even the text acknowledges these are essential to buy time and prevent irreversible tissue loss. Let's talk about the reality of a patient having a severe asthma attack.
Okay.
Their airway barrier is misinterpreting an irritant as a lethal threat. The smooth muscle is constricting, the tissue is flooding with fluid, and the airway is closing. Understanding that their gut microbiome is dysbiotic or that their tissue context is prime for danger, that does not open their airway.
No, of course not.
Suppressing that excessive acute amplification through direct blockade, like an inhaled corticosteroid or a targeted anti-IL-5 biologic, is the most reliable medical intervention we have. It halts the destruction.
It halts the immediate destruction, yes, but it assumes that suppression equals healing. And that is the problem with the current paradigm. Suppressing an inflammatory pathway stops the acute fire, but it does not restore coherence. It's just a pause button.
A very necessary pause button.
But it's not the end of the story. We have to look at resolution biology, which is a massive part of this white paper. The successful endpoint of inflammation isn't just a passive fading away. It doesn't just slowly die out because you block the pathway. Resolution is a highly active, metabolically demanding process.
What do you mean by active? Once you remove the inflammatory cytokines, the tissue naturally returns to homeostasis.
No, that is exactly the old paradigm the paper is dismantling. It doesn't naturally return to homeostasis without chemical instructions. It requires specialized pro-resolving mediators, or SPMs. These are molecules like resolvins, protectins, and myrosins,
which are synthesized from omega-3 fatty acids, right?
Yes, and their job is fascinating. If damps are the busted window and the blaring alarm, resolvins are the cleanup crew. They actively signal the macrophages, the body's garbage trucks, essentially, to come in, eat the cellular debris, clear out the dead neutrophils, and rebuild the barrier.
Okay, but
if we just rely on targeted defense and suppress the immune response with a heavy biologic, we often fail to activate those endogenous repair pathways. We leave the tissue in a state of suspended animation. The debris is still there. And over time, that suspended state leads to maladaptive repair, which manifests as fibrosis and scarring.
But without that immediate suppression, the tissue is destroyed by the inflammation before resolution biology can even attempt to clean it up. You can't rebuild a house while it is actively engulfed in flames.
I am not arguing against using a fire hose to save the house. I am arguing that our job as clinicians isn't done just because the flames are out. Leaving a soaking wet, half-burned house to rot isn't health. And more importantly, the fire hose doesn't address why the house caught fire from a single spark in the first place. That brings us to central trained immunity.
Okay, central trained immunity is a fascinating mechanism, but applying it clinically is where this framework starts to really lose me.
Let's trace how it works, because it proves why downstream suppression just isn't enough. We used to think that once a systemic infection cleared, the immune system went back to baseline. But past inflammation fundamentally alters the host.
Right.
Let's say you have severe periodontitis, like a chronic gum infection. The inflammatory signals from your mouth travel through your blood to your bone marrow. And the bone marrow is the factory making your innate immune cells, like monocytes and neutrophils. Those inflammatory signals literally change the epigenetic blueprints in your hematopoietic stem cells.
Right, so the DNA itself doesn't change, but the way the genes are folded and expressed does.
Exactly. The DNA is tightly spooled, but the inflammation causes the spools to loosen around specific inflammatory genes, leaving them exposed and primed. This is a trained myeloid bias. So months, even years later, your bone marrow is pumping out hyperreactive immune cells into your circulation.
Okay, I follow the mechanism. So when we see a patient with rheumatoid arthritis and we use a biologic to suppress a single cytokine like TNF-alpha in their swollen joint, we are completely failing to address the fact that their bone marrow is chronically trained to produce systemic inflammation.
I understand the mechanism, I do, but treating periodontitis or obesity or analyzing someone's historical exposure to air pollution to prevent rheumatoid arthritis flares is a massive, multivariable clinical leap. You are essentially asking a rheumatologist to become a general sociologist.
I'm asking them to look at the whole biological system.
But the power of modern medicine is precisely that we don't have to fix everything at once. We can interrupt the pathway at the joint. We can intercept the specific cytokine and halt the disease progression, preserving the patient's mobility.
But at what long-term cost? Look, if we diffuse our attention to all of the patient's past inflammatory exposures and metabolic states, we risk losing the therapeutic window where a biologic could save their joints. We can't let perfect condition restoration become the enemy of good, actionable suppression.
But that pragmatic suppression is leading to a civilizational crisis. We are seeing a massive rising tide of autoinflammatory and fibrotic diseases. This isn't a coincidence. Dr. Sahaley calls it a civilizational signal of ecological miscoupling. To just keep designing heavier and heavier immunosuppressants is like, it's like installing a state-of-the-art titanium deadbolt on your front door when the doorframe itself is completely rotted out.
I see the analogy, but...
This is where the white paper proposes the Wu Wei approach.
Wu Wei being the concept from Taoism?
Action through non-action. The paper defines it clinically as minimum sufficient, context-sensitive action. It is not therapeutic passivity. It's about working with the grain of the biology rather than fighting a war against it. To truly treat the patient, medicine must expand outward through nested ecologies. We can't just look at the cellular level.
Right.
We have to look at the tissue ecology, the person's life course, the social ecology, and ultimately the planetary ecology. We need upstream interventions like clean air standards, better housing, and antimicrobial stewardship to be viewed not just as public health adjacent, but as primary clinical immunology.
And that is exactly where the framework overreaches. It tries to make everything immunology. I mean, the text itself provides guardrails, stating explicitly that social ecology is not social determinism and that measurement is developing. I have to ask, how actionable is planetary ecology for a clinician sitting in an exam room?
It dictates the baseline health of the patient sitting in front of you.
But if a patient presents with a severe lupus flare, understanding that global biodiversity loss or climate disruption might have tangentially contributed to their life course immune development offers absolutely zero actionable clinical utility in that moment. It is scientifically interesting, it is sociologically vital, but it is medically inert.
It is only medically inert if you refuse to change the care protocol over the patient's lifespan. If we recognize the hard biological fact that particulate air pollution trains the bone marrow to produce hyperreactive innate immune cells, then prescribing a HEPA filter or advocating for clean air is an immunological intervention. It directly impacts the epigenetic folding we just talked about.
But how does a doctor quantify that? How do you prescribe for that?
The white paper proposes an AI-augmented learning system to manage exactly this complexity. We map the nested ecologies by feeding multi-omics into an integrated model.
Multi-omics, meaning genomics, proteomics, metabolomics.
Yes, mapping virtually every biological molecule and metabolite in the patient's body, and combining that with environmental exposure data, like the air quality of their zip code and social determinants of health. By feeding all of this into an AI model, we can map out the hidden causal pathways.
Right, but...
We can identify exactly which upstream conditions are preventing resolution for a specific patient. Maybe the AI flags an interaction between a specific air pollutant and a genetic variant in their macrophage metabolism. That moves us from just reactively suppressing the joint inflammation to precisely restoring the conditions required for their specific body to heal.
I have to push back hard here because that AI proposal is precisely what concerns me the most about this entire paradigm.
Why?
Because feeding multimodal omics, climate data, and social determinants into an AI model sounds incredibly visionary. But the text itself admits these tools require massive validation. The danger here is that these systems become unchallengeable black boxes. We risk complete paralysis by analysis.
It is only paralysis if you assume complex data can't be translated into clear clinical guidelines.
But look at how medicine actually functions. Instead of looking at a clear clinical biomarker, say a high level of IgE antibodies, and initiating a proven FDA-approved therapy, we are suddenly waiting for an algorithm to weigh the patient's zip code, their childhood gut microbiome, and the global heat index to tell us what to do. It overcomplicates actionable risk stratification. The most coherent action is almost always the most direct one.
I disagree. The most direct action is often a temporary illusion of control. We suppress the symptom, we send the patient home, and we wait for the disease to break through the drug, at which point we prescribe a stronger drug. That's not health. When we treat immunology as a tissue-embedded coherent system, we don't abandon direct action. We contextualize it. We transition from a paradigm of rigid control to one of metanoic regenerative condition restoration.
Metanoic meaning a fundamental change in thinking?
Exactly, a profound shift. If we address the upstream danger signals, the damps, the dysbiosis, the environmental toxins. And if we support active resolution biology by ensuring the body has what it needs to deploy resolvins and clear the debris, we don't just manage the body's decay, we actively expand human life capacity.
Well, I don't disagree that acknowledging social and environmental determinants is undeniably valuable for public health. But the biological reality of adaptive memory, protective immunity, and targeted molecular intervention must remain the functional core of clinical immunology.
Right.
If we dilute our focus into the macro scales of planetary stewardship and multi-omic AI black boxes, we risk dissolving the hard-won molecular precision of immunology into a generalized sociology of wellness. We must hold the line on targeted defense, because when the system fails acutely, defense is what saves the patient's life.
This has been a deeply fascinating exchange. It really highlights the immense value of examining medical science through multiple rigorous lenses. Dr. Sali's framework offers profound questions for the future of civilizational care, really pushing us to look beyond the microscope and ask what kind of society creates healthy immunity in the first place.
And at the same time, it reminds us of the incredible, life-saving power of the targeted molecular tools we already possess. There is certainly much more to explore in this material, and we leave it to our listeners to weigh the evidence and draw their own conclusions about where the boundaries of modern immunology should truly lie.
Indeed. We might never have a perfect, clean, engineering-style X-ray for something as breathtakingly complex as immune coherence, but conversations like this help us finally start to map the murky waters.